Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now in our second to last podcast of Masechet Ketubot, beginning the sugya which ends Masechet Ketubot. And this sugya, which begins on Daf Kuf Yod Amud Bet, is chiefly Agadah and chiefly focused around Eretz Yisrael and the significance and the value of living in Eretz Yisrael, the value of even being buried in Eretz Yisrael. We will see lots and lots of famous agadot in this regard. But we begin with a halachic framework, which is the Mishnah. Hakol ma'alin la'Eretz Yisrael v'hakol motzi'in. Picking up on the last Mishnah about forcing a spouse to move from one town to another, everyone may coerce to move up to Eretz Yisrael v'hakol motzi'in, but not to move away. Hakol ma'alin l'Yerushalayim v'hakol motzi'in. Everyone can coerce to move up to Yerushalayim, but not out. Echad ha'anashim v'echad ha'anashim. It's true about men or women. We'll see in the Gemara, we'll see a braita that explicates this. Now, the fact that it said echad ha'anashim v'echad ha'anashim makes you wonder why it had to say hakol ma'alin. Who's being included there? The Gemara will address this. Now, the final sugya, the final issue in the Mishnayot, is an issue of the hitchayvut, the financial obligation of ketubah, and one relating to location. So one preface that we'll see in the Gemara, but it's good to preface it here, is that when you commit yourself to a chov, to an obligation, borrowing money, for instance, the place where the document is executed defines the coinage. And therefore, for instance, if a person today were to make a contract in the United States, and the contract stipulated a certain amount of dollars to be paid based on that, even though he came to collect it in Canada, because it was executed in the United States and it said dollars, it would be American dollars, and vice versa. All right, we'll see that. Question is what to do with the ketubah. So we'll see. Nasai Yishav Eretz Yisrael, Gershav Eretz Yisrael. So if a man married in Eretz Yisrael and divorced her there, which means that's where she's coming to collect the ketubah, Noten Lamot Eretz Yisrael, you give Eretz Yisrael money. Nasai Yishav Eretz Yisrael, Gershav Bekaputkaya. But if you married a woman in Eretz Yisrael and you divorced her in Kaputkaya, which was a town in Turkey, which is well known in the ancient world as a serious minting town, and its coins were significant and weightier, you pay her with Ma'ot Eretz Yisrael, which means we would fully expect that it's all dependent on where you got married. So that's why we're surprised to read the third example. You still pay Eretz Yisrael money. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees and maintains the consistency of saying that you pay her based on where the document was executed, not based on the lighter coins. And that, of course, is very simple and straightforward, and there is nothing new about it, but it just rounds out the Mishnah. Now, the first thing that the Gemara is concerned about is the question I asked, Hakol ma'alin latuyemai, what is Hakol ma'alin coming to include? Latuye avadim, it's there to include an Eved Ivri. If you live in Chutz La'aretz and you own an Eved Ivri, then you can force the Eved Ivri to come with you, and he can't say, well, I'm not going to leave my hometown. You can force him to come with you. But according to some who explicitly read avadim in our Mishnah, latuye mai, so what is it including? Latuye minaveha yafel anaveha ra'a. In the previous Mishnah, we said you can't force someone to move from a nice town, from a nice area to a bad area. So here it's coming to say, but you can force them to move from a nice area in Chutz La'aretz to a less pleasant area in Eretz Yisrael. So now what is the flip side of the Mishnah, which says you may not force someone to leave Eretz Yisrael, since it already says Anashim v'Nashim, who's that including? This is Sugyan Gittin in the fourth parak. It's there to include an Eved. This is an Eved Kanani that ran away from his master in Chutz La'aretz and came to Eretz Yisrael. We cannot force to leave them. We say to him, Zavnei Zahacha Bazil. We tell the master, sell him here and leave. Mishum Yishivat Eretz Yisrael. Because of the beauty of living in Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, we cannot force the slave to leave. Now, Hakol Ma'alin L'Yerushalayim Atuye Mai, it's for the second clause of the Mishnah, that everyone can force Aliyah L'Yerushalayim. What's that including? Latuye Minaveh HaYafel Anaveh HaRa'ah. Again, from a pleasant area in Beit Shemesh to a less pleasant area in Yerushalayim, as an example. V'Hakol Motzi'in Latuye Mai. So it says Hakol Ma'alin. What is Ein Hakol Motzi'in? What does that mean? So this is easy. To move from a unpleasant area in Yerushalayim to a more pleasant area outside. Now that, of course, is all issues of coercion. That doesn't mean if both members of the couple agree to make that move that there's anything necessarily wrong with it, especially about Yerushalayim, as we saw in the previous sugya, the Yeshivat Krachim Kashet. The truth is that the clause about leaving Yerushalayim is a no-brainer once we have it in the Reisha, but for parallel construction, we have it. Now, this Breita that we're going to encounter now gives us a more explicative version of what the rule of the Mishnah is. The man says, I want to make Aliyah, and the woman says, I don't. We force her to make aliyah. If not, he may divorce her and not give her a ktubah. And on the converse, he omer lalot v'omer shelo lalot. If she wants to make aliyah and he refuses to, kofino to lalot, we force him to go. V'imlav yotziv yoteng ktubah. If not, he has to divorce her and let her make aliyah, and he has to pay the full ktubah. He omer latzeit v'omer shelo latzeit. And now we just flip it. If he wants to leave and she doesn't want to leave, kofino talot shelo latzeit. If he doesn't want to leave, then we force her to stay. V'imlav, if she insists on leaving, tetzei b'lo ktubah. Hu omer latzeit, v'omer shelo latzeit, kofino to shelo latzeit, v'imlav, yotzei v'tein ktubah. Again, the same thing inverted. Now, the end of the second half of the Mishnah talked about the issue of the coinage. Nasa isha, so hagufa kasha. We saw, as we mentioned, that the Mishnah contradicts itself. Ktani nasa isha b'eretz Yisrael v'ger shabu kaput kaven ten lamoet eretz Yisrael. The second case in the Mishnah was if you marry someone in Eretz Yisrael and divorce in Kaput Kaya, you pay Eretz Yisrael coinage. Alma bata shibud azlinan. So obviously we go after the shibud, meaning at the time that the document is executed, the locale where it was executed defines the coinage. Ema seifa, look at the next clause. Nasai shabu kaput kaya v'ger shab Eretz Yisrael. Notein la mamaut Eretz Yisrael. If you married a woman in Kaput Kaya and divorced her in Eretz Yisrael, you give her Eretz Yisrael. Alma bata guvain azlinan. So we go after the time of collection. So which is it? This is one of the leniencies of Ketubah. Kesavar Ketubah Drabanan. Our Tana must hold that Ketubah is Drabanan. And since it's a rabbinic obligation, unlike a regular Shtar Chov, therefore, one of the leniencies of Ketubah that would, of course, encourage marriage because the husband will not be concerned about how it's going to affect him financially over much, is that they allowed it to be whichever is the weaker coin he may pay with. Now, Rishon Gamliel Omer, what he said, Mount Kaput Kaya, in the third case in the Mishnah, if you married her in Kaput Kaya and divorced her in Israel, you have to pay Kaput Kaya coins. Kasavar Ketuvah Doraita, because he holds Ketuvah as Doraita, and it's like any other Shtar Chov, and that we'll see right now. Tana Rabbanan, Hamotzi Shtar Chov Al Chavero. If somebody executes a Shtar Chov, comes to collect with a Shtar Chov, Katuv bo Bavel, if it says Bavel in the Shtar Chov, meaning that it was executed there, it was written there, Magbeo Mamot Bavel, so you collect with Bavel money. Katuv bo Eretz Yisrael, if it says Eretz Yisrael, Magbeo Mamot Eretz Yisrael, meaning it doesn't matter where you collect it, it's based on where the document was executed. Katuv bo Stam, if it doesn't say a location, Hotzio bo Bavel, Magbeo Mamot Bavel, Hotzio bo Eretz Yisrael, Magbeo Mamot Eretz Yisrael. Then the next line of definition that we have is where the document is being presented for collection. If the document does not say where it was executed, then if you're coming to collect it in Bavel, you use Bavel money. If Eretz Yisrael, you use Eretz Yisrael money. Now, Katuv bo Kesef Stam, if it just says Mea Kesef, 100 silver, but it doesn't say so what size silver, what weight silver, Mashir Tzeh Lo Vemar Beu. The debtor can pay whatever he wants, which means the 100 of the cheapest, the smallest silver pieces. Now, Mashain can be Ketubah. And the end of the Breita is that this does not apply to a Ketubah. Now, Ahay, what's that referring to, that last statement? Mashashaya Aresha. It's going back to the Resha. Lafukim, meaning when it says that the coinage is defined by where the document is executed, what it says on the document. That's not true about Ketubah. It's there to contradict the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Damar Ketuvah Doraita. He says Ketuvah Doraita. So the Breita is stating that this is not the case, and that Ketuvah, unlike a Shtar Chov, is we always use the lighter coinage. Good. Now Ketuvah Kesef Stam. Back to the Breita. Mashir Tzeh Lo Vemagbeu. the Lova can give any kind of coin. If it says 100 kesef, he can give 100 of the smallest kesef coins. Ve'ema nascha, maybe it means 100 pieces of silver. Amar v'lazar dichtiv be'matbea. It says in it, matbea, coins. So it can't be just pieces of silver, it has to be coins. Ve'ema priti, so maybe it means prutot, the smallest kind of coin. But the smallest kind of coin, of course, was made out of copper. Papa priti b'chaspa lo avdi inshi. People do not make small prutot out of kesef. So we have to go with the smallest coin that's generally used as kesef. That's what the lova can do. Good. That really is the end of the halachic discussion as relates to our Mishnah. And from here on in, really till the end of the Masechet, issues of and relating to and in the periphery of Eretz Yisrael will dominate our discussion. Tanu Rabbanan. Le'olam yadur adam be'eretz Yisrael afilu be'ir shuruba avdei kochavim v'ayadur b'chutz la'aretz afilu be'ir shuruba Yisrael. A person should live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city that's majority pagan, and should not live in Chutz La'aretz, even in a city that is majority Yisrael. Why? Shkol Adar be'Eretz Yisrael domek k'mishe yishlo aloha. Quite an extravagant statement. Anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael is like someone who has a god. V'chol Adar b'Chutz La'aretz domek k'mishe yishlo aloha. Somebody who lives in Chutz La'aretz is as if they have no god. The interested reader on this and the next statement should take a look at the Ramban's commentary in Vayikra Perak Yud Chet at the end, Pasuk Chaf Hei, where he develops an entire theory about what this means. Shenemar, what's the proof text for this? Latet lachem et eretz kanan liot lachem le'elohim. That in Parshat Bahar it says, Hashem has taken you out of Mitzrayim to give you the land of Canaan to be your God. In other words, to give you the land of Canaan, and there he is your God. V'chol shenodar ba'aretz ein lo aloha. It's true that if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have a god. Elamar lecha, rather, it's even more than that. Kol adar b'chutz la'aretz ki'ilu oved avotar kochavim. If you live in chutz la'aretz, it's like you're worshipping idols. V'chein b'David hu'omer. And what's the proof text for this? When David encountered Shaul, this is the mountaintop encounter, after David snuck into Shaul's camp, and Shaul was asleep, and he took the spear and the water from above his head, and went to the next mountaintop and woke him up and said, you see, I could have killed you, but I didn't. And he said, why are you coming after me? If Hashem is upsetting you, let's bring a korban together and appease him. And if people are telling you bad things, then they are cursed because kigershuni hayom, they have caused me to run away, mistapeach benachlat Adonai, to be connected to the inheritance of God. Here in the pasuk, we understand that is Eretz Yisrael. Lemor lecha bar Elohim acharim, telling me to go and worship idols. Now, the reason that we're playing this midrashically is that David, as he was running away from Shaul, had to go into territories which one might argue are Chutz La'aretz. Maybe it's Plishtim, maybe this brief sojourn in Moab, perhaps. And of course, nobody ever told David to go worship idols. So why is David saying this? If you leave Eretz Yisrael, you go to Chutz La'aretz, it's like you're doing Avodah Zarah. So as David said, these people who badmouthed me to you, and you, Shaul, have been chasing me, and I had to run to Chutz La'aretz, it's like they're forcing me to worship idols. Now, here's a story, and the story will go on for a while with very central motif to it. Rav Zera was a student, the third generation Amora, and this student wanted to make Aliyah. This is in the pretty much at the end of the 3rd century. Wanted to make Aliyah, and his teacher was Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, the student of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, who founded the yeshiva in Pumbadita. Rabbi Zeira have kamishtamit minei de Rav Yehuda. He was keeping hiding from Rav Yehuda. Why? Debal lemesak le'eretz Yisrael. He wanted to make Aliyah. And why was he hiding? De'am Rav Yehuda kol ha'oleh. Mi bavel le'eretz Yisrael over ba'aseh. Shenamar Bavela Yuvau Vishama Yu Ad Yom Poktiotam. This text is from Yirmiyahu Chafav, where it says that Bnei Yisrael are going to be brought to Bavel, or they will be brought to Bavel, and they're going to be there until I remember them, until I bring them back. And so Rav Yehuda, living in the 3rd century, says that, well, Hashem has not yet redeemed us from here, and therefore we're supposed to stay here. And therefore, if somebody leaves here, they're violating this asay. Now, that's a little bit of a curious drasha, considering that not long after Yirmiyahu, Hashem did remember them and did adjure them to come back, and that was the whole story, of course, with Korah. In any case, that is the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda uses. Rabbi Zera. So how does Rabbi Zera answer this? And Rabbi Zera is a religious man. He's not just making Aliyah because he wants to make Aliyah. He's making Aliyah because he thinks it's a religious commandment. How does he answer this pasuk? He says, Ahu b'chlar echle shariktiv. He says, that pasuk is talking about the vessels of the Mikdash, not about the people. So Rabbi Yehuda, what is Rabbi Yehuda going to answer that? The answer is that he's got a different pasuk. K'tiv kra achrina. Now, Shir HaShirim, just a brief interlude. Shir HaShirim, which at least since the times of Rabbi Akiva was understood to be a metaphor between of the relationship that is described as a relationship between a king shepherd and a princess, that's the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. Shir HaShirim includes a passage that shows up three times almost exactly the same way. The first two are exactly the same, and the third is a slight variation. And if you take a look on the handout, you'll see them. Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim. The princess says to her friends, which in the metaphor is Bnei Yisrael saying to the other nations, I have made you take an oath by the gazelles of the field that you will not awaken or inspire the love until it's time. Meaning, don't push the relationship before it's time. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda says that means that you're not supposed to make Aliyah before it's time. Rabbi Zera, how does Rabbi Zera answer that? Hahu shelo yalu Yisrael b'choma. He says, yeah, that's an oath that Bnei Yisrael should not form an army to come and attack Eretz Yisrael and take it over. For Rabbi Yehuda, how would Rabbi Yehuda answer that? Hishpati achrin aktiv. Look at the page. There's another time it says Hishpati. One of them is not to form an army, and one of them is not to make Aliyah before it's time. For Rabbi Zera, what's he going to answer? He admits to that, but he says, we already have the great Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, who deals with not only the two, but actually three instances of that phrase. Why are there three oaths? Anybody interested in seeing the full development of the what might be termed religious anti-Zionist viewpoint should read Vayoel Moshe, which is the anthemic book, if you will, of the Satmar Rav Zatzal, where he discusses his approach to what he considers to be what's wrong with Zionism from a religious perspective or from an eschatological perspective, and it basically starts in this sugya. The reader can judge for himself the propriety of applying this sugya to the contemporary situation. In any case, why are there three oaths? Achat shelo yayulu Yisrael b'choma. One, we said that Bnei Yisrael should not make a standing army to come and conquer the land. Ve'achat shishpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael shelo yimerdu b'mot olam. A second oath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Am Yisrael take, that they will not rebel against the nations. Ve'achat shishpi HaKadosh Baruch Hu tovdei kochavim shlo yishdabdu ben b'Yisrael yotem yidai. And a third, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nations swear to that they would not hurt Am Yisrael too much or oppress them too much. So we've got three oaths, and they're all covered, and none of them talk about making Aliyah. For Rav Yehuda, what does he say? Im ta'iru v'im ta'aruktiv. Each one of the oaths has a double phrasing, not to inspire, not to wake up. So he says there's six oaths here, so one of them is about Aliyah. For Rabbi Zera, what's he going to answer? The answer is, Miboyilei l'chad Rabbi Levi. Why are there six oaths? In other words, Ishbati etchem times three and two each. Tlata hani damran, the three that we already said. Enoch, what are the other three? Shaloi galu ataketz, that people who know the secret of the end of days should not publicize it. Veshalo yidchaku ataketz, in one girsa, they shouldn't push too hard and try to make the end come before its time, Mashiach. Or shelo yichaku ataketz, the other girsa, that they should not make the end go further away. Veshelo yigalu asod ovdei kochavim, and they should not reveal the secret to the nations of the world. In other words, Rabbi Zera says, fine, there's six oaths, and I've got six oaths that Am Yisrael took when they went into exile, and one of them is an oath that the non-Jews had to take, and nonetheless, none of them involved me not making Aliyah. But nonetheless, of course, he didn't want to challenge his Rebbe directly, so he was hiding from him. In the end, Rabbi Zera made Aliyah, of course, very famous story. Now, b'tzva'oto b'ilot ha-sadeh, the text says that he made them take an oath by tzva'ot, by the gazelles, by the deer and the gazelles of the field. Amar b'lazer, amar l'makadosh baruch hu Yisrael, imatem mekayim et ha-shvuah mutav. What does that mean? Hashem said, if you fulfill these oaths, then fine. Vim lav, and if not, ani mater pesachem ki tzva'ot v'chaylot ha-sadeh. I am going to loosen your flesh, in other words, make you vulnerable like to hunters, like the deers in the field. Now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, kol adar be'eretz Yisrael shari b'lo avon. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're without sin. Why? Shenemar uval yomar shachen chaliti ha'am hayoshev ba nesu avon. And the person should not say, I'm sick here because the nation that lives here is without sin. Amalei Rav Ravashi, but in Bavel, it's an honor of a soul lechaloi matnin Allah. We learned that pasuk not as being about living in Eretz Yisrael, but rather chaliti, about people who suffer, who are sick. And so I would say that sickness is a kapara for them. Amar Vanan, kol kavur be'Eretz Yisrael, kilu kavur tachat ha-mizbeach. If you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you're buried under the mizbeach. Tiv ha-chamizbach adamata aseli. As the Torah says, you should make an altar of dirt. The dirt will atone for the people, but it's the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, the land. So being buried there, it's like being buried on the Mizbeach. Ula, Haverogel Davi Solik Eretz Yisrael. Ula used to travel from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, but Nachnafshe b'chutzlaretz, but he ended up dying in Chutzlaretz in Bavel. Atu Amrle the Rabbi Lazar. They came and told Rabbi Lazar in Tveria that Ula had died. Amar Ant Ula. He said to Ula, as it were, Al Adamat Me'atamut. You died on impure land. Amrulo Aronobas. They told Rabbi Lazar, but his casket is coming for burial in Eretz Yisrael. Amalehem Enot Dome Kotato Mechayim LeKotato LaAchar Mita. You can't compare somebody who is received by Eretz Yisrael when he's alive to someone who's received by Eretz Yisrael after his death. Now, who Gavra Denafale Yevama Bechoza? There was a guy whose brother went to this place in Bavel, Bechoza, married a woman. The guy died without a child, and so therefore he wanted to go to Bechoza to the Yibum. Atala Kamen Rabbi Chanina. He came to Rabbi Chanina, remember the student of Rabbi, and he asked him if he should go. Amar le Mahu le Mecha to Liyabma. Should I go down to Bavel and be Miyabim? Amar le Achiv Nasakuti to Mate. Rav Chanina has very strong words. He says, your brother married a shiktsa, married a non-Jewish woman. In other words, he married in Chutzlaretz. And he died. And he says, Baruch HaMakom Sharago. Thank God he's dead. You want to follow him? Very strong words. We don't know, of course, what Rav Chanina said about the Yibum and Chalitza, but that was his sentiment. I'm Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Now we turn to the voice of Bavel. Say Kashem Shasur Latzet Mi Eretz Yisrael Bavel. Just like we agree, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for Bavel. Kachasur Latzet Mi Bavel. You're not allowed to leave Bavel for other countries. In other words, Bavel has a particular sanctity. Anybody interested in reading more about this attitude in among Chachmei Bavel should read a very small book by Professor Yeshaya Gafni, Land Center and Diaspora, I believe it's called. It's several lectures that he gave. Wonderful, wonderful book, which goes through passages in the Gemara that demonstrate how Chachmei Bavel felt about their own standing as a special place and their standing in relation to Eretz Yisrael. Rambam v'Rav Yosef, Dar Mitavayu, they said, Afilu mipumadit l'vekuvi, even if you just cross the Tigris River from Pumadit l'vekuvi, that's considered leaving Bavel. And Ahud Nafak Pumadit l'vekuvi, there was a guy who did that, Shamtu Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef threw the guy in Cherem for leaving Bavel. Ahud Nafak Pumadit l'Estonia, a guy who went, this is not Estonia, but he went from Pumadit out of the country, Shachiv, he died. Am Rabbi, Abai said about him, Iboi Haitzum Rabbana Navichai. If this Talmid Chacham had wanted to, he could have been alive. Rambam Rav Yosef, Damr Tavayu, Ksheimin Shibabavel, Eretz Yisrael Kol Tatan. The really good guys in Bavel, Eretz Yisrael receives them. What does this mean? We'll see in a second. Ksherin Shibisharat Sot Bavel Kol Tatan. The really good guys in other lands, Bavel takes them in. Now, Lamai, what does it mean he receives them? Ilei Meliuchsin, if it means they're able to marry in that other place. V'amamar, kol ha'artzot isal Eretz Yisrael. All of the other countries are like mixed dough relative to Eretz Yisrael, which is pure, as far as Yuchsin. Eretz Yisrael, isal Bavel. Eretz Yisrael, however, is mixed dough relative to Bavel. In other words, the Yuchsin, the genealogies, are kept more carefully in Bavel than in Eretz Yisrael. So how can you say that the hierarchy is Chutzlaretz, Bavel, Eretz Yisrael when it comes to this? Elinyan Kvura, what it means is for burial. The really good guys of the Chutzlaretz get to be buried in Bavel, and the really good guys in Bavel get to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Am Rav Yehuda kol adar b'Bavel. This is Rav Yehuda. He says, anyone who lives in Bavel, ki ilu dar b'Eretz Yisrael. It's as if you live in Eretz Yisrael. Which of course explains Rav Yehuda says you can't make Aliyah, and you kind of don't need to. Shenemar, hoy Tzion hi malti yosher ba Bavel. Tzion, escape you who live in Bavel. In other words, Bavel and Tzion, kilu the same thing. Abaye niktinan, and Abaye says, Bavel lo chazya chevle Mashiach. We have a tradition that in Bavel they will not suffer from the birth pangs of Mashiach. Tirgama ad Hutzal de Binyamin. And he was referring to a particular town called Hutzal Binyamin. It's in Hutzlaritz, in Bavel, with Karule Karna de Shizavta. It's like the protected place, the place of refuge. Amar Velazar, Metim Shabachutzlaritz and Am Chaim. People who are dead in Eretz Israel will not rise. Shemar Benatatit Svi be Eretz Chaim. What does that mean? Eretz should Sivyono ba, the land should Sivyoni ba, the land that bears my imprint. That's where life will happen. Shein Sivyoni Baba, the land that does not have my imprint on it, which is anywhere outside of Israel, ain Meteh HaChayim. That's the drasha. So Meti Rav Abba Bar Memel, he challenged him, Yichyu Metecha Nevelati Yikumun. Your dead will live, and the carcasses will rise. My love, Yichyu Metecha Metim Shavar Yisrael Nevelati Yikumun Metim Shavar Chutzlaritz. Aren't the two phrases there to say, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but even in Chutzlaritz? And how will he interpret the pasuk in Yechezkel? That's referring to the Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to send a king who is fleet as a deer to attack you. That's what it means. But not about people rising. So he said, Rabbi Amar Mamal, I have a different pasuk. He puts the spirit on the nation that's on the land, and his spirit to those who walk on the land. But we have a pasuk that says the carcasses will rise. So that's referring to nephalim, to babies who were never born, that they'll rise, but still only in Eretz Israel. So what does he do with the other pasuk about noten neshama la'amaleha? Even a non-Jewish slave girl in Eretz Israel has a place in Olam Haba, because Ktiv Hachalam Aleha, there it says he gives spirit to the nation on it. V'ktiv Hatam Shvu Lachem Po Im Hachamor. Sit here, Avram says to the lad, sit here with the donkey. What's Im Hachamor? Am Hadomel Hachamor. That's the famous drasha, the nation that's like a dog. It's the Knanim. Nonetheless, Noten Neshama La'am, Am meaning the Knanim, Am Adum Alachamor. V'ruach lo'ochim ba, what's that? Amr Yiri, Abba Amr Yochanan, Kolam Ha'alechi, Arba Amor Beretz Yisrael, V'tach lo'oshu ben Olam Ba. If you take four steps in Eretz Yisrael, you have a chelik in Olam Ba. Ruach lo'ochim ba. Beautiful concept. Rabbi Lazar said, "Dikim shvachutz la'aretz enam chayim." So Rabbi Lazar says, only the ones who are in Eretz Yisrael will rise. What the ones, the tzaddikim or chutzlaritz, what happens to them? They somehow, when the time comes, they're going to be burrowed underground to Eretz Israel to rise. That's very painful for tzaddikim. God will create these tunnels that will bring them from wherever they are to Eretz Israel. Now, in this week's parsha, we read that Yaakov says to his children, "Take me up from Mitzrayim and bury me in Eretz Yisrael." Amar Karna Dvarim Bego. Take a look what he's saying. Yodea Yaakov Avinu Shel Tzadik Amoraya. He knew he was a tzadik. Meitim Shem Chutz La'aretz Chayim. If it's true that Meitim and Chutz La'aretz are going to rise, Lamitriyachet Banav. Why did he bother his kids to bury him in Eretz Yisrael? Shalom Shemalayis Kelim Chilot. The answer is he was afraid that maybe he wouldn't be such a tzadik that he would get these tunnels. The same thing happens at the very end of Sefer Bereishit. Vayashba Yosef b'nei Yisrael. Yosef made his brothers swear that they would bring his bones up. Chanina dvarim bego. Yodea Yosef batz Moshe tzadik amoraya. He knew he was a tzadik. V'im meitim shebachutz laretz. Chayim, if it's true that they're going to live, why did he bother his brothers to keep an eye on him and pass the tradition down and then to carry him all the way to Eretz Yisrael? Shemalei's kelim mechilot, because he was afraid he also would not earn mechilot. That becomes the source of this letter with which we'll end this podcast. Shachle achui l'rabba. So the brothers in Eretz Yisrael sent a letter to Rabba in Pumbadita. Yodea ya Yaakov shetzadik amoraya. They quoted this whole midrash. And then Ilfa mosif badvarim. Ilfa added to the letter. Ma'asem mechad shemitzter al isha achat v'ikesh l'rei. There was a guy in Eretz Yisrael who was very much in love with a particular woman in Chutz La'aretz. He'd heard about her, he'd met her at some point, and he wanted to go to Chutz La'aretz in order to marry her. Kevan Shema Kazot, he heard this thing about Yaakov and Yosef, Gilgel Bi'atzman Yomoto, he held himself in check until the day he died, and he never went, never married. Avi Shechacham Gadolata, so they said to Rabbi, even though you're a great Chacham, Eino Domed Lomed Mi'atzman Lomed Mi'arbo. You can't compare learning by yourself in Bavel to come and learning with a Rebbe here. Vim Tomar, Ein Lecha Rav, you think nobody could teach you here, Rabbah? Yesh l'charav, umanu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan evidently was still alive, and he said you could learn from Rabbi Yochanan. Me'ena ta'ole, but if you don't make aliyah, then he's a herbish l'shadvarim. We'll give you some advice. Be careful about three things. He's a altar bebe yeshiva, don't sit too much. Shishiva kashel tachtoni, it leads to piles. V'altar bebe amidah, don't stand too much. Shamida kashel lev, that's hard for the heart, bad on the heart. V'altar bebe halicha, don't walk too much. Halicha kashel einayim, it's bad for your eyes. Ela shlish bi shiva, shlish bi amida, shlish bi hiluch. A third of your waking time should be sitting, a third standing, and a third walking. And parenthetically, kol yeshiva she'eni masmicha. Anytime you sit, but you're not leaning, amida no chayman. It's better to stand. Amida sagadayich. You think so? Amar amida kasher leiv. Standing too long is not good for you. Ela yeshiva she'in basmicha, amida she'ish basmicha no chayman. What it means is that if you sit without leaning, it's better to stand and lean. To lean against something, it's not as hard on the body. Sitting without something to lean on is more stress on the body. In any case, we'll stop at this point. We're in the middle of a discussion, but there's really nowhere else to stop. And in the next podcast, Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll finish our study of Masechet Ketubot. Everybody should have a wonderful day.